This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening to you for Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Yes, and we're trying to work out some bugs that happened at the last minute, so still trying to open things. The chat room is open, and we have, I'm sure, multitudes in there. Yep, multitudes. anyway, so it's good to have everybody here. Tonight we're going to be talking about who do you worship. It probably should be whom do you worship. We are all being grammatically correct here. But we'll get to that in just a moment. The Metaphysical Universe, or the show, is a program by the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. We're here to empower the human spirit, explore science and spirituality. We operate a couple of schools, the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, IMHS, where you get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degree in metaphysics, including a number of different sub-areas such as spiritual counseling, life coaching, paranormal science, holistic healing, and many more. And you can visit that site at metaphysicsinstitute.org. We also operate the International College of Humanistic Science, where you can take standalone courses or just certification courses. The address for that is ICHSworld.org. And of course, helping us behind the scenes is Michael Kelly, and he will be taking your calls should you like to call in. Michael, welcome. Let's probably turn on the mic. Okay, now you're on.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? I am really looking forward to tonight's episode. Religion, worship, and God, the concept of God, is a subject that I've been very, very interested in for a very long time, so I'm very much looking forward to tonight's show.
Great. Go ahead and give the call-in number if they have comments, since you're probably more adept at it than I am right now.
Absolutely. The call-in number is 714-459-3973, and we always welcome any calls and comments.
As long as they're nice.
Everybody's nice to us. Come on.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, bud. Okay. So as we usually do, we'll do our profession of beliefs, which kind of explains what metaphysical humanism is about. We have 9 principles of belief. The first one is, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are, therefore, equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. Number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these nine principles of belief, as well as an expanded explanation, visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. Okay, so we're here, we're doing this, we got everything together, the chat room's open, we got people in it, we welcome all of those who are listening to us live, welcome those who are listening to the archives. We really do appreciate the time that you're taking to be part of this. It does mean a lot to us.
Well, and for all the people who are listening, like Minot in Canada, Minot tunes in faithfully every week, I got to tell you.
Thanks,
good Minot. Friend of mine. Yeah, she said she loves it because she can actually turn it on and clean her house while she's listening.
Well, there you have it.
So that's a hello out to Minot.
All right. Very good. So tonight, our subject is who do you worship? Or whom do you worship, whichever you like. There's different aspects to this concept. The obvious one is, you know, people worship God, all kinds of gods. Some people say everybody worships the same God. Of course, the different various religions would probably not agree with that. They worship different gods. Many religions are monotheistic, meaning they worship one God. Some religions are polytheistic, meaning they worship many gods. So the question is, what God does the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism worship? And the answer is...
Dr. Doug Kelly. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Had to.
Nah, then we'd be a cult.
Yeah, I know. We're not, because you should worship yourself.
Well, we actually worship no one, or
that's
nothing.
Right.
Because, I mean, even self-worship is... getting into narcissism, right?
Well, maybe.
But I know what you meant. But the answer is we worship no one, we worship nothing, because we stress the power of the human being. We stress the power of the individual. We stress looking within oneself for the answers. That doesn't mean you can't seek guidance elsewhere, but the ultimate decision for where you're at and where you're going is up to you. And so there's some reasons why we don't worship anything or anyone, and those will become apparent as we get into our discussion.
You know, I have to say this honestly to everybody listening. I know I crack jokes about it, but this was my great attraction to IMHS and to Dr. Doug Kelly, is that he absolutely promotes self-thinking and itself, like autonomy, be who you are, respecting the individual, and everything needed to support you in that. And sometimes it can be very challenging when you're provoking people into thinking, and it can grate on your pride, a little bit on your ego, you know, hurt your feelings or anything, which is totally unintended. What it does is promotes people to think. And that was my greatest attraction to this school, to ISOMH, and, you know, for, you know, we certainly Paranexus and how critical thinking you are in that regard, to the IMPA, all of the organizations associated with, you know, what we're doing here is absolutely be yourself. So I just had to throw that in. I know I like to crack jokes about it, though.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, too, for a variety of reasons. At any rate, just a couple of comments, though, in terms of expanding on why we don't worship anyone, and including me, you know, including any human being. And that's because that's one of the big definitions of a cult. You know, they have a central figure who is worshipped or highly revered, or it even goes beyond highly revered. You know, they essentially worship the spiritual teacher, the guru. And the interesting thing, and I've always said this, that I make a terrible cult leader, because my goal is to give people all the tools that they need so that they don't need me. You know, teach everybody how to get along and stand on their own two feet, and they don't need me. That's why in our principles of belief, it basically says to be your own counselor, be your own guru. And again, that doesn't mean you can't seek advice and seek training and all that, but the final decision is ultimately up to you, and we respect that. It goes right in along with the law of control. You know, we control that which we are entitled to control. We change that which we are entitled to change, and we don't mess with anything else. We don't tell people what they ought to do. without being asked, you know. And again, that's even a fine line, you know. We put out suggestions. If you want a happy life, if you want a successful life, then do this. This is what has proven to work. And that's really wrapped up in the life leadership paragon, which is also in our principles of belief, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. Now, the thing about worship, obviously the word means that you regard something highly. Where is that definition I just had? That way I can just read it to you and everybody will know everything, which is always a good thing, right?
Well, we were talking about it before we came on the show, and we had a few technical glitches. So
Basically, worship means reverent honor and homage paid to God or a sacred personage or to any object regarded as sacred. Adoring, reverence, or regard is another one. Those kind of the big ones. Render religious reverence and homage to feel an adoring reverence or regard for any person or thing. But there's other connotations to the word too, because when we worship something, we place that higher than ourselves. We place that before ourselves, above ourselves, as a rule. There's always exceptions to the rule. But think about, you know, you worship God. Well, God is the object of that worship. Or maybe it's a car. The car is the object of that worship. In other words, we put it ahead of everything else. And that's not balanced. And one of the big things that I want to say, too, here, one of the key points, is that the reason we don't worship anyone or anything is because no enlightened being would tolerate or allow other sentient or sapient beings to worship them. In other words, no enlightened, spiritually advanced being of any kind is going to allow other people, beings, whatever, to worship them. Think about it. Would you feel comfortable in having people worship you, regardless of whatever powers or gifts you had? I doubt it.
Well, some people do like that.
Well,
you know,
we're talking about regular, everyday, sensible people. We're not talking about people who are narcissistic, you know, just typical people. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's where it comes into. There's so many layers to the word and the experience of worship. We don't even realize we're doing it. I think of money, you know, and the greed of money, possessions, very important to people. And they worship these things. That is the identity or the feeling of accomplishment. And without those things, they don't feel worthy or, you know, well, you just don't feel important, self-important. It's the things that make people important. So that's a form of worship.
It is.
You know, we were talking again earlier about putting somebody in your relationship before yourself. That's a form of worship. And for that matter, it can go this far to worship your children when you forget about yourself. See, there's so many layers to how we put other people or things outside of ourselves, things, in the big capital words, things outside of ourselves before ourselves. And truly, if I'm not okay with who I am, I'm just not going to affect anything good outside myself. So that's where I always say that it's within first. And, you know, in that way, it is about worshiping the self, Doug. And so you and I might disagree a little bit. To worship my body.
You can't disagree with me.
Well, and I don't mean to the point where I'm going to use other people's ideas of what perfection is. It's to my own level of comfort within myself and to respect that, to be regarding of it.
Well, you're talking about
it.
Respect. What we're talking about tonight
exactly.
Is worship. So we're going to assume that worship is to the nth degree, you know, is way beyond just a healthy respect.
Well, some people do. Some people worship their bodies to the point where, you know, it's strict eating, strict this, and, you know, they become very judgmental of others when they're not following the same rule. Is that not also, you know, kind of a weird kind of form of worship?
All right, let's take off on something you said. Let's pick up, because this is part of the discussion. One of the things related to worship, if you think about it, you mentioned especially in relationships that can come into play in a certain
That's
way.
That's a big one. Yeah, big one.
The other thing that I want to state before I move on to that particular one is that when you think about it a lot, worship can be very codependent. You know, when we put something ahead of our own health, it's not healthy. That's not a healthy balance. So codependent people basically assume responsibility for the world. They carry the world on their shoulders. They're strong people. They can get a lot done, and they're very, very strong people. But they assume responsibility for other adults. And we're not talking about children here. You know, if you're a parent and you have children that are minors, they are your responsibility. Okay, you have to take care of them. But what we're really talking about is one adult being codependent with another adult, and they are essentially assuming responsibility for that other adult. It is a control issue. And when you assume responsibility for another person, you deny that person one of their inalienable human rights, and that is self-responsibility. So bear that in mind. So when we worship, we're putting it off of ourselves. Now let's tie that into some common examples and a common scenario that is all over the place in our world, in our countries, in our world, and that is when people who are in toxic relationships. It is so common, you know, the boyfriend, the husband, or whoever, this is the most common, you know, will beat the wife or the girlfriend, and she won't press charges. Tell me, who possesses that person, that woman? Well, it's her boyfriend, her husband, or whoever, you know. And so many people are afraid of ghosts, you know, well, I'll be possessed, you know, and that's baloney. No, you won't. And the fact is that most people on this planet are possessed, just not by spirits. They're possessed by someone or something else. That is a form of worship. And so here's the key, the kicker here. When you are self-possessed, you cannot become possessed by anyone or anything else. So who possesses you? Are you self-possessed? That's an important thing. When you're self-possessed, you don't worship other things because you are standing on your own two feet. You're complete within yourself. You know who you are and why you are who you are. You are self-possessed.
You know, there often in discussions when it comes to matters of worship or having a higher regard for others, you know, and this could be other people, it could be, you know, ascended masters, we've had those discussions, or the gods, God, whatever, and spirits, however we want to go, is when people challenge that notion of not worshiping to say, well, who do you think you are that you're as good as those ascended masters? Well, my response is you're assuming they have a brain cell that functions down on Earth. there's a lot of assumption, and if you use a little bit of critical thinking, I absolutely believe, as you well know, everybody here knows, you know, there are many realms of life, and I think the worlds are infinite and teeming with all kinds of life, and I have high regard for that, and I have high respect for that. And, you know, sometimes I call on my buddies up there and say, hey, look, this is bigger than me. Can you lend a hand here? You know, or do you have a little insight for me? You know, something. But ultimately, I'm the one who has to make the decision, and I'm the one who has to do the doing. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit different than, you know, kind of bowing down to thinking that there is some other kind of realm of worlds that knows better about my life than I do here. And it's still at my level of consciousness, my level of awareness, my level of responsibility and my capabilities to do. And I find that I'm capable of doing a lot more than I ever thought about, but that comes with believing in myself or being backed in a corner where I have to prove it to myself. So there's lots of challenges in life that really have nothing to do with anybody else, any other god or realm of beings. And
right.
Like that's kind of my little speech
on
that. Doug.
Well, let's talk about that whole concept of, well, don't they know more than us? They're ascended beings or whatever. Or they've already lived here and they've moved on and they're in the next realm. Do they not know more than me? The answer is, I don't know. They may or may not. People are people. And we all have our lessons to learn regardless of the realm you're in. It's not because once you get there, now you know it all. That just doesn't make any real sense, does it? And so if you think about, too, when a person will seek advice or guidance or insight from another person, maybe a mentor or a counselor of some kind, that's because that person maybe has already been there, done that. Maybe they do have more insight into a particular area, and so they can more easily and readily see where a problem might lie. And so when we ask for guidance and seek help, it should be with the intent of getting some insight, like you said, getting some insight in what we might do differently. And whenever you connect with another person, you're brainstorming. It's a mastermind, right? You've got more than one consciousness at work here, more than one set of experiences at work here. So a lot of times when you get two or more people together, the ideas that will come out of that connection, that entanglement, will be something that would not be possible otherwise, because you've got a kind of a melding of the mind, so to speak. You've got that entanglement, that consciousness that's working together. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in the end, make your own decisions. Seek advice, guidance if you want, but weigh everything. Use your own good judgment. Use your own good sense. Keep your feet firmly planted on the ground. Use critical thinking skills. Think for yourself and arrive at a decision that works for you at this moment, because you can't make today's decisions with tomorrow's experience and knowledge. It doesn't work that way. So do the best you can now. And if it's not the right path, you'll find out and you'll add that to your experience, to your knowledge base, and you'll do it better the next time. That's the way life works, and that's just fine.
You know, some little skills, I've often been asked the question about how do you make those kinds of changes. And for instance, in a relationship, if you're used to doing all the work for somebody, making all the decisions, it's really simple. Just back off. You know, it's let somebody be their own individual to have the experiences. But and then somebody say, but I can't do that, then it won't get done. Well, that's because you need to control everything.
Yeah.
So there's lots of ways to look at it, you know, that we just have to be willing to have things in a feeling of disorder for a minute in order for a new awakening to reclaim a new order, which I think is healthier.
Mm-hmm. So let's continue the thought. When you worship someone or something else, you give your power away. And one of the big things that we talk about a lot and teach as metaphysical humanists is that the, in my opinion, the key, the solution to almost everything that ails you is to take your power back. Reclaim your own identity. Know who you are and why you are who you are. Stand on your own two feet. You know, don't sell yourself short. Don't give away your power. Don't give away your identity. That's what happens so often. When people worship another person or thing, especially another person, they're giving their identity away. They're adopting the identity of that other being, that other person, whether it's an abusive boyfriend or some god somewhere. They're seeking their acceptance. So that's just another form of them esteem. I don't feel good about myself unless I think God is pleased with me. Or I don't feel good about myself unless I'm doing what my parents, religious leaders, teachers, whoever think I should be doing. So,
you know, I might also add that, again, I've been provoked with a lot of different questions along these lines. And one of them is, well, then how do you think of yourself as a spiritual being then? Which is really an interesting question, because being spiritual is a way of life. You know, it's a matter of having your integrity and your ethics and to know who you are. That is living in your own spirituality, a sense of knowing you're a spirit having a human experience. That is being spiritual. It's not in a book. You know, and we have all kinds of traditions and ceremonies that help us to feel connected and to help us focus on what is, you know, with deliberate intent, you know, and the power of thought and the power of energy. We learn these things, and that is actually living the spirituality. It's not having to go somewhere, you know, like to a temple, a church, a mosque. If that makes people feel better, that's good, you know, that camaraderie. But you can also have a down conversation with somebody and feel like you have gone to church, you know.
Well, that's spiritual education.
Because it is that opening awareness and consciousness, and when you just feel good.
Good points. So, So, you know, so just to summarize kind of where we've been so far in this conversation is that when you're self-possessed, you cannot become possessed by anyone or anything else. When you worship another person, whether it's a human or a god or whoever, you're giving your power away. You're giving your identity away. You're basically seeking their pleasure, seeking their approval of you, and that's just not healthy. You know, the idea, folks, look, we've had thousands of years of this stuff. We don't need any more. Look, it doesn't work. And so what we need to do is focus on empowering ourselves and valuing our life, empowering the other person through doing no harm, doing right. Empower the other person through a good word of encouragement and in various ways. Did you have a partner?
Well, I did, and it's really, I promote critical thinking. If you're going to think one way, then it must also be true another way. So if you think God is going to help you come down from the skies, you know, and walk on water, and, oh, that's Jesus, sorry, you know, or any of these beings and these superpowers are going to come down and help you, then why are you there in the first place? You know, how did you get there? And how is it that that God that serves that one is greater in the football game than the guys on the other team? You know, it's everybody's wanting to make claim to something, and that is, to me, a form of, in a way, an emotional, there's really, want to say it's emotionally crippling, because that's not self-empowering at all. And I don't mean to criticize religious people, because that's not what I want to do. What I do want to say is that when we get competitive, because that's what really worship does, it incites competitiveness. And your God and my God and my dad can beat you up, and, you know, which side of the fence. And that's the state of the planet right now, aside from, you know, who's got more money and, you know, which religion has more power with more money and, you know, who's going to pee on what fire hydrant. And it's just being competitive. When you do not worship those things outside yourself and you go deep within, and exactly what Dr. Kelly is saying, when you go deep within yourself and you do self-possess, and that's in a really good, positive way, then you start to see yourself as a human being, and you see others as a human being with equal rights, equal pathways to their own so-called enlightenment, self-completeness, to their own pathways of realization. And we start to coexist better. And that's where brainstorming, what we were talking about earlier, can be really exciting, you know, because we can agree to disagree. But it's really interesting to see different people's points of view, as long as we're not imposing those things on other people. So, you know, it's more about coming to terms through discussion, understandings through discussion without being competitive. But that worship causes competition. Absolutely, right down the line. That's, to me, my biggest issue with it.
It does, you know, and then it leads to things like, my God's bigger or better than your God, and, you know, and we've got the one true way. I mean, that's so rampant in religion, in mainstream religion. And again, folks, it's
and New Age, New Age spirituality, boy, that's rampant there too.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to lay claim to some other new Messiah. I mean, and so it's not just in Christianity versus,
right,
you know, a number of other religions. It's this New Age stuff, too.
Well, it's part of human nature to do that, but we need to evolve. We need to move past that need for competition. You know, some people might think, well, don't you think that, you know, the metaphysical humanism is the best thing going and better than any others? Well, I think it's the best thing going. It's not necessarily for everyone. I mean, you've got to figure out your own path. I personally think with all my heart that our principles of belief are the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet, because we empower the person. We don't denigrate the human being. We don't tell you you're a sinner. We tell you you're perfect and that you're doing what you ought to be doing. You're learning your lessons. You're trying to be better tomorrow than you were yesterday. You're seeking to improve. And, yeah, we get distracted. And we're here to say, hey, don't forget your dreams, your goals, what you want to do in life, because it ain't going to last forever, not on this planet. So, you know, be about your fulfilling your dreams and goals and purposes here. And if you don't know what those are, figure it out and get on with it. Because that you owe that to yourself. We teach you to walk your own path, not somebody else's path, which is what is involved in worshiping somebody else. You're walking their path, not yours. That is not fair. And again, no enlightened being is going to allow themselves to be worshipped by others. It's just not going to happen. Even, I mean, you've got all kinds of groups out there who, geez, who worship everything from God to UFOs, you know, to the gods in the universe. You know, they don't want that. Even if, especially, you know, the ones that are that exist, they don't want that. They might be there for guidance, but human beings tend to end up worshiping them and revering them, giving them more credit than it's worth. It's time to let that go. It makes no sense anymore. We've got to look within.
You know, I think that if everyone were just to sit quietly for a moment and ask themselves, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who am I as a free and sovereign being of the universe? And how am I different and how am I the same? But who am I? I am different and I am the same. And so that's a bit of that, you know, we're talking in kind of, you know, life is a paradox, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I am me, I'm thinking a certain way, I am feeling a certain way. To look for anything to rescue me, rescue is a big one, to look for anyone to, you know, show me the way, it's really kind of silly in a way. Now, show me a new way. Give me a new idea. You know, can we have a discussion? You know, talking to my spirit friends, they say, look, hey, guys, you know, like I can't see the forest for the trees here. Can you show me something else? And we'll have that discussion. I do the same with lots of people, yourself included, Doug. And that's good, but to still see it through my own eyes, and to be able to make my own decision with my own mind, because that makes me, I am living then as a free and sovereign being of the universe. It really does simply come down to that. When people are really turmoiled, myself and what I've imparted to all my children and so on, is whenever you get really overcome with life, is just say, I'm here having a human experience.
Yeah.
And okay. Don't take it to heart. You know, that's when we get into trouble. We take it to heart. We start getting really down about that, and then we want to look for help. And looking for help tends to be the rescue syndrome.
Let's
wanting.
Go ahead. Finish your time. Let's talk more about that.
Well, it's wanting, like women want to be rescued into a relationship. I see that a lot. Men do too. Don't get me wrong. It was just that whole thing about rescue me from my situation, because we feel helpless and vulnerable and disempowered in some way. Everybody feels that way from moment to moment, or, you know, you might have 5 bad minutes in a year and it might be 5 minutes in a week. Everyone has that weakened moment, but that's all it is. It's just a moment.
All right, so let's set this matter clear and just hit it on the nail on the head here. We can feel like we have no power. We can feel like our lives are out of control. The reality is that that's not true. Your life is always under control, under your own control. You are where you are by the decisions and choices you've made in life. You will be tomorrow where you will be because of the choices you make today. So if you feel like you have no power, like you feel like things are out of control, that's the time to reinvent yourself, to go back and recheck your core values. One of the things I'm working on right now are sacred obligations. And, you know, there's a difference between perceived obligations and universal obligations. A universal obligation is do no harm, do right. A perceived obligation is something that you've committed yourself to that maybe you shouldn't have. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's just something you've done, and now you feel like you owe it to them. Well, you know what? You can have too many irons in the fire. So if your life is out of control, you got too many irons in the fire, reassess what you've got going on and simplify. Get back down to the basics so that you can have some breathing time, mental breathing time, to figure out what's next. And as far as this rescuer thing, that's one of the reasons people get so wrapped up in life that they need somebody to rescue them. That's why they pray to God to, you know, get me out of this situation, help me figure it out, do this, that. And the silence is deafening. If you want your life to be the way you want it, then make it the way you want it. It is up to you.
It doesn't mean you don't ask for help. Let's clarify that.
You can ask for help. Yes.
We all need to help each other out all the time.
Absolutely.
But that's not in a negative way to enable.
But ask somebody who can reply to you and somebody who has the experience and the knowledge to assist you, to at least give you some ideas to think about. And put your defenses down, you know, lower your shields. It's not about how worthy you are. You're already worthy. You're already perfect the way you are. You're worthy just by the fact that you're a human being. You're worthy of this. So that's not even an issue. Just because somebody points out something you could do better is not in any way any kind of a defamation of your character. It's simply somebody that you've asked, hopefully, that is sharing some insights with you. And open your heart up, open your mind up, open your arms up and embrace it. Weigh it, think about it, ponder it, and if the shoe fits, wear it, so to speak. If it is relevant and it applies to you, then apply it in your life. Take that advice and make those changes, and you will recover that control of you. But it's so much healthier to do that than it is to beg and do obeisance and supplicate some mythical being in the sky, whether it's God or whether it's some, you know, alien, you know, or it doesn't, they're not going to communicate with you. Do what you know, do what you can hear, you know, talk to somebody you can actually communicate with, and don't expect to be rescued. If you want to be rescued, rescue yourself. That is taking personal responsibility for your life. And that's another problem with worshiping a deity or somebody else, is you're shirking responsibility for your life. You're placing responsibility for your life on someone else. And that's you can't do that. That's not healthy. Assume responsibility for who you are and where you are and where you're going.
You know, if somebody needs to ask for help, and we all have at some point, there is a process of what we learn about ourselves. One thing is humility. And, you know, coming down off any high horse we might be riding at the moment, biting our pride, which just makes us more real. And that's what it's about, is staying grounded, staying human, and it's staying real. Make it real. And in that being real, we make progress, you know, and we keep going forward. So if you are asking for help, ask the people, as Dr. Kelly had said, ask for the ones who might have a little bit of insight or have the experience, and go where it's going to be proactive to options for thinking, things that you haven't thought of before, or putting two and two together in ways that you haven't thought before. Because sometimes we all just need to connect the dots. Yeah. And then we go, oh, you know, and then you have a little epiphany, and then you move forward in a new way. Because, you know, we all get a little bit stuck, which is very... It's a very healthy way to be, and that's what kind of connects and joins us all in this big old planet that we're on, which is really small in the universe, I might add. But that's very, very different from, again, what we're talking about from the onset here of worshiping, where you really do believe other people have greater and more power. You know, there's some people who have more money. There's some people who live in bigger houses. That doesn't mean they're smarter. It doesn't mean they're better. Or more worthy in any stretch. It doesn't. It just means that maybe they had an opportunity. And it doesn't mean they worked harder. Boy, I tell you, that, you know, that whole mentality of you, if you work really hard, you'll be rewarded. Well, they always don't, they omit that last part of with money.
Yeah, work smart.
You know, so it really keep it in perspective that we each have our own pathway. And not to put other people, whether they're movie stars or athletes or, you know, the people in big houses or the gods and ascended masters and all that. They don't have something we don't have. They just are a different expression of what we all are, if that makes any sense at all.
So, and if you really want to make huge changes to your life. Enroll in the IMHS degree program. It changes yeah. lives. I mean, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. You want some insight, some advice, some different ways of looking at things to get you, your mental juices going? Enroll in the IMHS degree program because it will get you thinking. The whole idea is to provoke you to thought and disturb you to action, positive action, things that will make a difference in your life because it teaches life skills, relationship skills, critical thinking skills, assertive communication skills. It teaches you how to accept yourself and how to accept others. It teaches you all of those things and far, far more. It shows you how we're all connected. It gives you a much bigger picture of the cosmos, of the universe, and everyone in it. And so that is a great way to educate yourself because that's in your education should be an ongoing thing. And here's another related thing. So often we seek answers, but we don't really research. Well, you know, if you want answers, go look it up. Go find answers. Search for answers. You've got the internet. You're listening on the internet. You've got the internet. Go research. You know, see what's out there. You never know what one idea is going to trigger something, another thought in your head that basically solves your problem. And never forget this little nugget. Sometimes the solution you are looking for lies outside of your belief system. I can't tell you how valuable that little nugget is that I just shared with you. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. That means you need to expand your belief system. You need to open your mind and be open to other points of view. Reassess your core values. Reassess what you've believed up to this point, and the answers will begin to come through.
Well, I think you said it earlier, the ideas of commitment might just be one of those things that's outside the belief system. When people get married, they believe they get married for life, come death do us part, you know, and, you know, hell or high water. and that necessarily the case because life happens. Life does change people. And the one you married may not be who they are in 10 years. And we're all just winging it here, folks. We're all just doing our very best. You know, we have an intention. And we have a target, and we go forward, and, you know, we're just growing human beings. So we just do our best.
Well, we appreciate you joining us tonight. Now, next week, we've got our special ceremony. We have 4 a year. Next week is the rite of equinoctial equilibrium. That's a mouthful. Who named that anyway? I don't know. Anyway. But it's a celebration of the fall equinox for the northern hemisphere, the spring equinox for the southern hemisphere. And what it is, it's a time to do a checkup from the neck up, as people say. It's a time to think about where you've come over the last few months, where you're going. And it's just something that we think a lot of. It's an important holiday, if you will, for us. So please be with us in 1 week. You know, grab a candle and have it there ready because we light a candle and it's part of the ceremony. It doesn't last all that long, but we'll talk about that and what it means and some other things next week. And then in a couple of weeks, I believe it's the first week of October. I'm looking at my calendar if it ever comes up. But it's
we'll do card readings.
Yeah.
Card readings, yeah.
The first week in October. So, yeah, that is 2 weeks from tonight. We'll use the new Inner Oracle self-discovery cards that we've just come out with, which you can obtain a deck of your own and at the church website. It's metaphysicalhumanism.org/store. And those will be shipped out here in just a week or 10 days. They're on order, and they should be arriving. So, anyway, they're really powerful. They're really cool, too. So, that's all I got. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night.